Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is A Decade in Your Ear, Part 1, by Wes Nisker. Thank you for listening.
Eek. Eek. The cosmic eek connects everything on the material plane. Economy. Ecology. America. And the free eeks. Eek.
And today, we hear the echoes of those voices preaching a gospel of gloom and defeat, saying the same thing. We have seen our best days.
The decade of the 1970s was baptized in fire. The Vietnam War burned through Asia and raged through the streets and campuses of America. And the high and heavy decade of the 60s officially came to an end in the spring of 1970 with the U.S. invasion of Cambodia and the killings at Kent State.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Let us go to the map again.
I realize that it is difficult to communicate across the Gulf of 5 years of war. But the time has come to end this war.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier
there is one area,
and the sunshine
however,
patriot
immediately
will,
above
in this crisis,
feet,
shrink from the surface of his country.
But
he that stands
American
it now deserves the love and thanks
necessary.
Of man and woman.
Tonight,
tyranny,
and South
like hell, is not easily
will attack
conquered.
The headquarters.
Who's the one who has pledged an honorable end to the war in Vietnam?
Bet you'll never guess who.
Nixon's the one.
This is the decision I have made. After full consultation with the National Security Council, Ambassador Bunker, General Abrams, and my other advisors, I have concluded.
Stand beside her. And
this is not an invasion of Cambodia. While we deeply sympathize with the plight of 7 million Cambodians whose country has been invaded.
Watch it.
Whose country has been invaded.
We, the people of the United States.
We take this action not for the purpose of expanding the war into Cambodia, but for the purpose of ending the war. For the purpose of expanding the war. For the purpose of ending the war. Expanding the war. Ending the war. Expanding the war. The war. The war. The war.
Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
These bums, you know.
A new nation.
These bums, you know.
The Woodstock.
These bums, you know.
Great universities.
These bums, you know. Bums, you know. Bums, 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 you know.
Find themselves under attack from the world's most powerful nation, the United States of America. Let us go to the map again.
It is the domino theory.
Here is South Vietnam. Here is Kent State. This is not an invasion of Kent.
You know, you see these bums, you know.
Here is Kent State.
Oh, bury me not.
So, for about 20 minutes, there was kind of a give and take where people would throw back the tear gas, and a few rocks were thrown, not very many. And the guard would shoot some more tear gas and retreat. And then, high, the guard moved up again and started chasing people up the hill.
This is not an invasion of
Canada. You see these bums, you know.
They sounded like a machine gun going off. Three people were dead on arrival at the hospital, and one more died later. They were all, most of them were just plain gunned down in cold blood in the back.
I want to know what the facts are. I've asked for the facts, and when I get them, I'll have something to say about it. But I do know that when you do have a situation of a crowd throwing rocks, and the National Guard is called in.
Watch it.
And the National Guard is called in.
Make no mistake. The deaths of Allison, Sandra, Jeffrey, and Beale were murders, and that's just the way it is.
You know, you see these bums, you know,
expanding the war.
These bums, you know, bums, you know, bums, bums.
Stop. She resented being called a bum. Because she disagreed with someone else's opinion. She felt that war in Cambodia was wrong. Is this dissent a crime? Is this a reason for killing her? Have we come to such a state in this country that a young girl has to be shot because she disagrees deeply with the actions of her government? Can Congress find out why our children can't express themselves?
My fellow Americans, let us go to the map again. Here is the United States of America.
When in the course of human events, becomes necessary.
The Kent State College massacre, I'm sure that will someday go down in history. You know that that was one less than the Boston massacre that began the American Revolution.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more...
We'll have better than 500 names from the San Francisco Bay Area of elected trade union leaders. And let workers and students together,
with the working people in this country who have had to pay for the war,
and the parents of the young men slaughtered in Vietnam and Cambodia,
those clerks, middle-class America,
a peace community downtown, college and university council, American Federation of Teachers.
It's high school students out in the street.
Junior high school students. Kids 10, 11, 12, 13 years old.
Adults over 32.
From the Student Mobilization Committee.
There's a lot of adults out there.
And a Secretary of Interior.
Even the Chairman of the Board of Bank of America has come out.
Black Panther Party.
And the Black Student Unions of Black People.
And a professor of physiology, strangely enough.
The Chicano Moratorium.
A lot of average Americans who are horrified.
From the Peace Brigade in Berkeley.
Dear Senator Fulbright,
we're bringing people in from the hills, the cities and the towns.
Throughout the east and the west and the north and the south.
Young people and black people and red people and yellow people and brown people. And all kinds of people who fight for peace.
Finally, take this word wherever you go. And let everybody know that our souls are not for sale. We ain't selling our souls. We ain't selling our souls to materialism. We ain't selling our souls to property. We ain't selling our souls to the war masters. We ain't selling our souls. They're not for sale.
And so it came to pass in the year 1973 that the great American machine began to slow down. The empire was running out of gas, and the pump was on the other side of the world. Suddenly it became clear that the joyride was almost over.
On the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked.
Our view is outward. Our thrust is forward.
Guidance is internal. 12,
11, 10,
remember the
9,
words of my great master, Guru Lethargy.
6, 5,
the way to
4,
get closer
3,
to the earth
2,
is to sit down.
1, 10, 3, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We have an energy crisis.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Now, some of you may wonder whether we're turning back the clock to another age. Gas rationing, oil shortages, reduced speed limits. They all sound like a way of life we left behind with Glenn Miller in the War of the 40s. We have an energy crisis, energy crisis.
My God, was the only entry in the co-pilot's diary. 78,150 people died at Hiroshima.
We have an energy crisis, energy crisis. By the end of this decade, we will have developed the potential to meet our own energy needs without depending on any foreign enemy, foreign energy sources.
Watch it.
Foreign energy sources.
The United States is the only major industrial country without a comprehensive, long-range energy policy.
We have only 6% of the world's people in America, but we consume over 30% of all the energy in the world.
A 14-year-old in Pasadena, California, gave up his stereo to save energy.
As a result, the average American will consume as much energy in the next 7 days as most other people in the world will consume in an entire year. Without depending on any foreign enemy sources.
We have an energy crisis.
I will not resign if indicted. I will not resign if indicted.
And so it came to pass, as the nation approached its bicentennial, that the executive branch of the government of the United States was found rotten to the core, and the public trust was drowned in Watergate.
As the great Tibetan yogi Milarepa said, happy is it to practice the yoga of renouncing one's own country.
Tyrant, dictator, he's lost his senses. He should resign. He should be impeached.
Committee will come to all of them.
Don't get the impression that you arouse my anger.
You see, I have that impression.
You see, one can only be angry with those he respects.
I'm getting awfully sick away down deep inside at these innuendos.
What did the president know, and when did he know it?
Mr. Butterfield, are you aware of the installation of any listening devices in the Oval Office of the president?
I was aware of listening devices. Yes, sir.
Transactions prior to April 7th, beginning April 7th, till April 7th, 1972. Transactions before April 7th be preserved, beginning April 7th, for failure to report transactions which occurred after April 7th.
April 7th, 1972.
Well, it was quite a queer coincidence, wasn't it?
It's rather
a suspicious coincidence.
I then said that to pay clemency was wrong.
That is correct, Senator. That is correct.
Correct?
That is correct. That is correct. It's a great trial they're conducting up here, isn't it?
And I can assure you that you don't need to worry about my getting seasick or jumping ship. I'm going to stay on that helm till we bring it into port.
I'm quite certain that that is my...
My best recollection is...
I do not recall as perjury, electronic surveillance without the so-called Houston plan, which...
Prosecution of Dr. Ellsberg.
Breaking and entering.
To the best of my recollection, I met with...
Political matters memorandum.
What a liar.
I then said that to pay clemency was wrong.
What is the expression of stonewalling it?
In fact, I think I can quote it directly. I said, it is wrong. That's for sure.
And I know he's a very, very clever little lawyer if he wants to try and tell the American people.
I've earned everything I've got.
Then he should raise his right hand, go down here on the witness stand, and tell us...
Nixon's the one.
Well, I'm not a crook. Not guilty, of course. And that's the way it is, the way it is, the way it is.
As I leave you, I want you to know, just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
I'm a Ford, not a Lincoln.
And it came to pass in the decade of the 1970s that the plagues appeared. Plagues of environmental disasters created by human activity. Aerosol sprays were destroying the ozone. Air pollution was altering the atmosphere. The Great Lakes were declared dead. Every single day, another species of life became extinct. Deserts were expanding and topsoil disappearing. There were love canals and oil spills. And by the end of the decade, there was enough evidence to conclude that human science and technology, in the name of progress and economic growth, were threatening to destroy the life of the planet itself.
There were uncontrolled bursts of radiation spewing from the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant for a 2.5-hour period this morning. Governor Dick Thornburg had been considering evacuating the 950,000 people who live in the four-county area surrounding the power plant, but according to his press secretary, Dave Critchlow, the governor has taken this action.
We are advising the people on the basis of information and on the basis of a recommendation from the chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that they simply ought to stay indoors as a precautionary measure, you know, until they hear further word from us. It's that simple.
We're safe!
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf.
Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold.
Nuclear Regulatory Commission officials here don't like to use the term meltdown, but
there is a risk of further damage to the fuel, which could include some melt of some fuel in the core.
Things fall apart, the center cannot hold.
No more nukes! 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 No more nukes!
I've directed the establishment of an independent presidential commission of experts to investigate the causes of this accident and to make recommendations on how we can improve the safety of nuclear power plants.
We're safe!
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf.
But if we look back at those golden years, we recall that even then, voices had been raised warning that inflation, like radioactivity, was cumulative and that once started, it could get out of control. But if we look back at those golden years, we recall that even then, voices had been raised warning that radioactivity was cumulative and that once started, it could get out of control.
Yes, yes. And the physicists have recently discovered the laws of indeterminacy. And I myself, I don't know what I'm doing. Do you?
No power on earth is stronger than the United States of America today. And none will be stronger than the United States of America in the future.
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity.
And it came to pass in the 1970s that the Cold War got colder, and the Third World War continued to be fought in the Third World. Meanwhile, throughout the decade, the United States and the Soviet Union continued to talk SALT talk. The SALT talks were technical discussions about how many times over the world could be destroyed and by what kind of weapons. Here is SALT negotiator Henry Kissinger talking the kind of talk they talked at the SALT talks.
To reach 950 SLBMs on Y-class submarines will require the Soviets to retire H-class launches. They will also have to retire SS-7s and 8 ICBMs. They cannot build launchers on Y-class boats to replace launchers on G-class boats unless the launchers on such boats have been deployed with modern SLBMs. Any modern SLBM operationally deployed on G-class will be counted within the 950 ceiling, and above the 740 baseline must be accompanied by corresponding destruction or dismantling of SS-7s and 8s or older nuclear-powered submarines.
Now I ask you, with all of those missiles and those anti-missile missiles and those anti-anti-missile missiles, how will each missile know which missile it's to give its dismissal to? Unless each missile has a distinct missile whistle to.
The United States and the Soviet Union are the only two countries that have the capability of a general nuclear war, and therefore the only countries that can end civilized lives as we know it.
Our deterrent is overwhelming, and I will sign no agreement unless our deterrent force will remain overwhelming.
I believe that my duty as president requires that I recommend increases in defense spending over the coming years.
Now, folks, here's a snappy little mantra, direct from India. It will really blow your mind. Oh, 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 hum, hum, hum. You better watch out because we've got the bomb.
Blessed in this, that we happen to know the answer. Yes, in this immense confusion, one thing alone is clear. We are waiting for Godot to come.
I've never had more faith in America than I do today. We have an America that, in Bob Dylan's phrase, is busy being born, not busy dying.
Our preachers preach of evil fates. Teachers teach that knowledge waits can lead to $100 plates. Goodness hides behind its gates. But even the president of the United States sometimes must have to stand naked.
Just a few moments ago, on Air Force One, before we landed at Warner Robins, I had received word officially for the first time that the aircraft carrying the 52 American hostages had cleared Iranian airspace on the first leg of a journey home, and that every one of the 52 hostages was alive, was well,
and free.
Horn plays wasted words, proves to warn that he not busy being born is busy dying.
I was a simple, honest, hard-working citizen with a job, a family I was proud of, and a wife who respected me. Well, you can all go to blazes.
See, when you started in this business back in that golden era, they had a thing called the B unit. And I became the hero of the bees for a while at Warner Brothers.
Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look.
I was like an Errol Flynn in a low-budget sort of way.
The people are watching and waiting. They don't demand miracles. They do expect us to act. Let us act together. Thank you.
Should have arranged to quit right there. I believe that my duty as president requires that I recommend increases in defense spending over the coming years.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, cat, go.
And that concludes part one of A Decade in Your Ear. Listen for part two coming soon to a radio near you. And I'm Scoop Nisker reminding you, if you don't like the news, go out and make some of your own.
Please, we'll do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
You just heard A Decade in Your Ear, Part 1 by Wes Nisker, broadcast by New American Radio.